If you ever browse the tourist shops, you'll know what I'm talking about in this next story. The fake Indigenous art industry has been in the sights of consumer watchdogs for more than a decade. Now, it's a slippery trade, not exactly illegal, although in some cases, yes. The trade denies income to Aboriginal artists, no doubt some of the poorest, by ripping off their designs and mass-producing them overseas, sometimes in sweatshops and factories in Southeast Asia. In some cases, Aboriginal designs or motifs are copied in Indonesia and then imported back to Australia. They're often traded as genuine Aboriginal art for sale in cheap tourist shops from the Rocks to Swanston Street, and even in some commercial art galleries, although that's much less common. Now, at the other end of the spectrum, Aboriginal style artwork in lurid colours and designs is being mass-produced on fridge magnets, on key rings, on stubby coolers. And the effect there is to devalue genuine Aboriginal art and craft in the marketplace. That stuff that you see in those shops is generally rubbish. Now, it's an incredibly complex web involving galleries, artists, collectors, arts organisations, government agencies, and manufacturers in Southeast Asia. But is enough being done here to prevent fraudulent activity in the market? And Away's Rico Adrin is speaking with three Aboriginal artists, one from Bardu Island in the Torres Strait, another from Yamaji Country in Geraldton in WA, and another from Mission Beach in far north Queensland. All of them say they are directly affected by the trade.
You can't hard to explain the anger. You want to reach out and grab this person who's doing this to our identity.
Where I live, Mission Beach is like a tourism spot, and you've got a lot of shops, and at that time there was a lot of Aboriginal artefacts in shops, and you couldn't really tell where it came from.
My name's Charmaine Green, and I have cultural affiliations to the Wadjeri, Budimai and Willinu people of mid-Western Australia. I am a director at the Yamaji Art Centre. I'm also chairperson of the Aboriginal Art Centre Hub Western Australia. So I've been around in the arts area for about 30 years. In Geraldton in particular, we have more cruise ships coming in. Our income stream is not picked up or not made relevant by those cruise ships. And then we're competing with the tourist shops, you know, who do sell the fake art. And we're also competing with tourist buses that take their people that are on the buses to the front of those tourist shops. So there's a whole lot of things that impact on the arts industry here in rural Western Australia.
Laurie Nona from Bardu Island. I come from the Snake Clan from home. Yeah, been practicing art now for about over 20 years now. I've seen a lot of fake art, and that's what makes me weak. I mean, that's disempowerment. When I look at fake art, when I see fake boomerangs, fake like T-shirts with fake art printed on them, and even like canvases with fake art on them, our cultures are based on respect for elders and art. And when you look fake art, now these are disrespectful people who don't give a f*** about our culture, and it's so. I don't know. Otherwise, I'll be cursing more. But I think my thing is that these people don't have a culture. All they're looking at is dollars and what they gain from what they're producing. They don't have no connection to it. And I've also seen now little drums, Torres Strait drums, that have been made overseas and are being sold in markets, you know, and shop and outlets here in Queensland, which frustrates me. And to me, that's part of me, but I know that my mob didn't make that. So that's the disconnection there, what people don't understand. That's ours, but we didn't make it. So who did? But when you ask, like, you know, I guess like a politician or any of these mob, they don't connect that level. All they got to say is probably have some sort of excuse that, you know, they need to hear it in cabinet or something. It's got to go to that level. But I think what I'm trying to say is that feeling, like I'm feeling it now when I'm talking about it, like saying that's our mob thing. but someone else been make that thing, but that's ours. I don't know how else to explain that, but only another black fella can understand what I'm talking about, because if somebody else is creating what is ours, like identified to us, connected to us, somebody who's making it is disconnected from that, is somebody from Thailand, China. Like, these people have their own samurai swords. Why don't they stick to samurai swords? You know? We don't go on making samurai swords here. I guess this is that's the thing I'm talking about, is respect for respect, man.
Leonard Andy. Well, I'm an artist that works in many different mediums. My last couple of projects have been sculptures using aluminium, graphite, plastic, and also using recyclable stuff from the ocean and the beaches. Well, I'm a Juru artist from Mission Beach, so a lot of my art revolves around cassowaries and the rainforest.
Leonard, have you personally been affected by the trade of fake Indigenous art and craft, be it a questionable character in the industry or being manipulated into doing something you feel uncomfortable doing when it comes to your art?
I've been asked in the past to paint didgeridoos, and I come from rainforests, and the people asking me to paint the didgeridoos weren't Indigenous, but they were tourist operators, and I told them that I didn't do it, and it wasn't my culture, like in the rainforests. First they offered me $50, it went all the way up to $150 for each didgeridoo if I painted one. But I still said no.
The money never enticed you to give it a shot?
No, because I knew what my elders thought about that instrument. It's Aboriginal and Australian, but it doesn't come from our area in the rainforests.
How long ago was that? Is that practice?
That would have been probably in the mid-90s, late 90s. And then there was even with the art on there, it was a lot of dot art, a lot of animals, a lot of cross thatching in the design of the art, and it looked like it may come from up in northern Australia, but it wasn't too sure.
You mentioned that was the 90s, mid-90s. Is there a chance that is still happening now?
Yeah, because we've got more Asian tourists now in our area in North Queensland than ever before. A lot of the shops up here, a lot of them are just stacked with artifacts or tourism shops. And some of the stuff looks like it comes from Australia, but there's other stuff there that you just don't know.
Hi, I'm Gabrielle Sullivan. I'm the CEO of the Indigenous Art Code. The Indigenous Art Code was established after the Senate inquiry into misconduct that was going on in the space of buying and selling of Indigenous art in Australia. One of the recommendations was to establish the code. It's not a mandatory code, it's a voluntary code. So we rely on our members doing the right thing. Some do, some don't. In June, July this year, we embarked on a process of purchasing some of these questionable items of Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander style arts and craft. Whilst we're aware that there's fake stuff out there, in theory, it's a really different experience to go into some of these shops and actually hand over cash for the items. Our budget was limited, but we started off at the Rocks in Sydney and Circular Quay, also went down to Swanston Street, the Queen Vic Markets, some places in Darwin, Alice Springs. And we asked the vendors the same series of questions. So we'd go and look at an item and we'd ask, who was the artist? Where's the artist from? What's their language group? Now, one blatant example of the fakes being out there, I went into one shop to purchase an artwork and I was told straight out that it came from Bali when I asked. The guy in the shop then went on to say that most of the Aboriginal work that we sell isn't from here. It's from Indonesia. So it's not Aboriginal artwork in the first place. And that the reason they sell it is because the other stuff's too expensive and no one would buy it. So, you know, some people aren't even trying to keep this a secret. The other thing where it starts to get ambiguous is, you know, there'll be an artwork or an object that appears mass-produced, but the labelling suggests that it's made by one person. And whilst there's no proof, you do start to wonder, did one person really hand-paint that many of those works that are all identical? It was hard to navigate that space. It was hard to know what was authentic and what wasn't. In one shop we went into, we got two different people working in the shop giving us a different story for one work. We also went to purchase one item where they started to peel the Made in India sticker off the back as we were buying it. So I can't give you a figure on how much of this work is fake or questionable, but I can say that there is a lot of it out there, and there's certainly a lot more of it out there than I thought there was before I embarked on going and purchasing these items.
I'm Derek Farrell. I'm the Regional Director for the ACCC, that's the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission for the Northern Territory, and our job predominantly is to protect consumers. Consumer law allows us to take action where people have been misled. So if there is a claim on a piece of art that it's authentic Aboriginal art or this is Indigenous art, when an Indigenous artist hasn't painted that piece of work, then that presents a real chance that we can use consumer law to take that matter on. It doesn't prevent an artist who is hungry or the family is in need of money at a particular point in time for selling a piece of artwork cheaper than perhaps they would have otherwise provided in the marketplace. So there is many areas of this complex problem that probably can't be fixed by consumer law.
Derek, could you touch on the various ways Indigenous artists could be taken advantage of?
This is not normal commerce. This is artists giving cultural expression to important aspects of culture. And it is a form of business. Often these artists are a means of support for a wide family group. Their work can be mass produced without their authority, without any license from them. Their name could be used on souvenirs that they've had nothing to do with. They can be pressured to pose or sign a piece of work that they did not paint in return for some fee. They can be given an unfair deal and asked to paint for a day rate rather than the quality of each work. And that work could be sold in high-end shops for large amounts of money. Or, sadly, they could be pressured by family members to deal with someone that is unscrupulous and is not going to give them a fair price because of that immediate need for money.
Who is the problem here? Who's number one? Or who's in the sights of the Indigenous Art Code when it comes to the fake Indigenous art trade?
It's not about wanting to go out there and catch the baddies. We've really got to think about why the code exists in the first place, and that's to give artists a fair go. And how can artists be getting a fair go if there's no law in this country that protects them, and when the law at the moment really says it's okay for all of this fake art product to be out there in the marketplace? I just think it's a no-brainer. Let's try and do something to get rid of it. It's not going to fix all of the problems, but it's something that we can do. And really, the only people that are going to lose out here are the people selling the fake stuff.
Leonard, do you have a message for those that are engaged in the fake Indigenous art trade?
I know it's all about money, because it's not about culture. And it's not about respect. I'd like to say to them, wherever they're from, they may be here in Australia, or they may be based coming from externally outside the country, these businesses. I wonder if they'd liked it if we started doing it back to them. Our culture was here before money, and it's still here, but we're dealing with different things today, and money's just one of them, and it does do strange things to people.
For consumers, buyers and lovers of Indigenous art, go in and visit your Aboriginal art studios, your Aboriginal art centres, your ethical galleries and places that sell genuine produced Aboriginal art. If you're not sure, and you're not sure that you're buying fake art, question the seller of the product, who the artist is, where it is from, and where it was made. If people have difficulty in answering those questions, then you know it's possibly fake art. Also, the exploitation of our stories and images, they're really not for sale and they're really not fake. We're a living culture in this country, and that needs to be valued. I would hate to think that this type of thing can really contribute to the loss of art centres in Australia if people decide that we'll go and buy that $2 trinket over there rather than go and buying an ethically genuine made Aboriginal art and craft products. The other thing that really is a downside is that we're creating this mindset and this culture in Australia and the Western world that says it's okay to reproduce fake mass and misappropriate our culture.
Well, when you're buying Indigenous art, you'd want to buy the real thing. You know, you wouldn't want to buy a diamond and find out it's not a real diamond. No, it's a fake. Because it wouldn't have so much value if it was sitting on your wall and you're telling people that it is Aboriginal art when it isn't. They may not know, but enough of it happens around the country that and overseas that we're up to this stage now where we're starting to launch a campaign to fight it and to protect our Indigenous artists now and into the future.
Gabrielle, can you briefly touch on the Fake Art Harms Culture campaign, how it came about and how you're feeling since it's been launched?
Okay, so the Fake Art Harms Culture campaign was launched at the Darwin Aboriginal Art Fair in August this year between the Indigenous Arts Code, Arts Law and Copyright Agency VisCopy. Look, we didn't launch it as a consumer campaign. We launched Fake Art Harms Culture in response to artists asking our organisations to do something about the fake art product that's out there. So it was really an advocacy awareness raising campaign for us to try and get the ear of government to see if we could, you know, work with them to look at some legislative changes. We've had a really, really positive response on the whole. We've certainly had a positive response from the artists. Their responses are starting to come in from the government, and it's seemingly positive from both sides, which is really promising. So from that perspective, I think it's achieved what we've needed it to. What we don't want is for people to get scared and think that every bit of art that's out there is fake art, because it's absolutely not. And we want to celebrate, you know, Indigenous art and culture and the selling of that in Australia, but we can't beat around the bush and pretend that there's not a problem. There is. So hopefully we get a really positive response from government, from the letters that have been sent off to the ministers and the shadow ministers. And we're hoping that we can work to get some change in this space so that it doesn't become the problem of the artist to have to resolve or fix something when their work is misappropriated or fake art is out there. It's just illegal and it's not okay. And there is a law there that stops it from happening.
If you are a businessman or woman and are breaking the law, we'll investigate these issues. My second point is that people living on country are dependent on this industry as a very important income source. It is incredibly unscrupulous to undermine, to distort that market by producing fake artworks, which ostensibly are Indigenous work, but there is no money going back to those communities.
Can you touch on the penalties?
The penalties for breaches of consumer law are $1.1 million per offence, but we're also able to get orders that prevent this activity happening again, and in some circumstances, we can get orders for compensation.
After 10 years, is the war being won against traders of fake Indigenous art?
I think it will be an ongoing battle, and the ACCC will continue to work cooperatively with organisations that help us root out some of the worst conduct in this area.
Derek Farrell from the ACCC, the Competition and Consumer Commission, speaking about the tangled web of fake Indigenous tourist art. We also heard from Gabrielle Sullivan from the Indigenous Art Code, the driving force and one of a handful of organisations behind the advocacy and awareness campaign called Fake Art Harms Culture. And the campaign was launched last month in Darwin. We also heard from artists Leonard Andy, who's from Mission Beach in far north Queensland, from Laurie Nona from Bardu Island in the Torres Strait, and Charmaine Green, who's based in Geraldton in Western Australia.